Hello, my name's Marie Keeble and I live at Wintersleep Farm.
Marie, I understand that there have been five generations of yours and your husband's family here. Would you like to talk about the history of it?
Yes, Wendy, that's quite correct. My late in-laws, my mother's grandmother's side, the side of the family, the Smith family, lived at Barking, Eastbury House. And they had a number of cows, and these cows got gassed off during the war, and it was decided that the Smith family would come to Essex. So they came down and they rented Wintersleep Farm, which is believed to have come as part of a farm from the Winterslade estate. Years ago, big farmers had these big estates, and then they split them up for wedding dowries, and it's believed that Wintersleep Farm was part of a wedding dowry years ago. Now, this is in the 1900s that they came down to Wintersleep Farm, which they rented and for a number of years, and then they got to hear that the farm was up for sale. And the lady who was going to sell the farm, her name was Mrs. Baker, and she lived in Bath. She did do a sale with my mother-in-law, and my late husband actually took his mum down to pay for this. And to this day, which I've been in the family 56 years, I have still got the cheque. Because years ago you got a cheque back after you paid, and I think it paid for the whole farm was about £2,000.
Was that the farm and the land?
And the land.
Yeah.
So then once it became the family, the Keebles owned this, because father-in-law had been on the barges, because his name was Keeble, but he married the Gran, who was Smith. And he came off of the barges and decided to farm it with milking cows. And they had a herd of about 30 cows here, which were milked twice a day.
That was a big change, Marie, wasn't it, from barges?
It was a big change for father-in-law, but he seemed to cope with all the situations. And they had, as I say, 30 cows, which were milked twice a day. Gran and her sister, which they were still the very much involved with the farm, they helped do all the deliveries up into the town, and that was with the churn on the back of the old-fashioned horse and cart.
So they delivered to the
they
top
delivered
of the
to
town.
The actual streets in Malden.
Yeah.
And my late husband can remember being got out of bed early in the morning when he was a little boy to put the special shoes on the horses, because if anybody knows where Wintersleep Farm is, it's hills all way. And they had those special shoes put on them in the mornings if the weather was bad, and he can remember as a little boy getting up and helping do this.
Was this to stop the horse
slipping as they were going around delivering the milk?
Yeah.
They kept the milk wound up for a number of years, and as I say, when I came on the scene and met my husband, who was Jim Keeble, very well-known person by loads of people in Malden. When we married in 56 years ago, we were doing what they call churn collection then, which we milked twice a day, and that was collected by a lorry at the gate. We did this for a number of years, and I had never ever been on a farm. I had never ever been with cows, calves, or anything like that. But we worked hard together, and we decided that things had got to change, because they were going to stop all churn collection. This was becoming an impossibility.
So, Marie, can I interrupt? Where did you meet your husband?
I met my husband because I worked in Malden in what's called the Oak House, and it was a fruit and florist shop, and I was a florist, and I worked in there, and the lady who owned it at the time, her name was Sybil Whiting, and she was my late husband's cousin, and I worked for her for a while, and I used to see Jim, I call him my husband, going up and down the road, and he'd wave to us and that sort of thing. And I said, oh, I think he's ever so nice. So she said, oh, she said, I could get him to take you home one night. So I said, pardon? So she said, yes, I'll get you a ride in his new MG, if you like. Well, the new MG...
That was an attraction,
and there we go. But going back to the farm, I had never been on a farm. I'd never been involved, although I'm a Tiptree girl. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of being on the farm, and it is hard work. It was hard work. But we just loved doing it, and we did it all together.
Marie, when you were first married, did you live in the farmhouse?
No, I didn't. We didn't live in the farmhouse. I'm going to be quite honest. We met quite quickly, and we married quite quickly. So we decided we lived in a large residential caravan on the land here, but the council said to us we hadn't got planning permission, and we got to get out within a year. So with great thought and great decisions, we decided the best thing we could do was to try and build our own bungalow, which with a lot of hard work, I had no children at this time, but with a lot of hard work, we managed to do this, and I'm very proud of my bungalow to this day. We settled in it, and after getting settled in it, we...
Did you build it yourselves?
Yes, we did build it all ourselves, and I'm going to be quite boastful and say that all the cement that came here was all mixed with a cement mixer and a shovel. We couldn't afford to have carrier mixing or anybody like that. Goodness. We had a very good friend of my husband's, and he helped us with all the measurements and the what should be right for the council and the drains and that sort of thing, guidance, but the actual work was all done by our own fair hands.
So the bungalow here is just up the slope above the farmhouse.
That's
so
quite...
at the time your parents-in-law were in the farmhouse?
That's correct. Also, we were still doing milking cows twice a day. So what we're trying to build a house and milking cows, we were kept quite busy. But then as time went on, I'll go back to the milking of cows, as time went on we decided that we couldn't afford to pay to have a bulk tank put in and all the milk come in or go in a vat. We decided we just couldn't afford to do that, so it was decided that the best thing would be for us to have to sell the cows and farm arable.
Was that a very difficult decision?
It was a very difficult decision, because you can appreciate we'd always had animals, we'd had the calves, we'd had pigs, we'd had everything, and all of a sudden overnight you literally go to quietness. It took a lot of getting used to, so we decided the best thing we could do was to plough it up. But unfortunately, being small acreage, it wasn't profitable to that degree, and we both tried to do extra work and went out to work and help to support the farm. We were then, after a number of years of being married, we were very blessed with our first child, which is Carl, who to this day just absolutely loves the farm. And just about 4.5 years after having Carl, we were given Helen, who unfortunately has her problems, but is a very, very rewarding young lady, and loves being on the farm and has loved being involved with it.
Can I bring Carl in here now? Let's go back to the history of the Keebles and barges.
Yes.
Carl, would you be happy to talk about that?
Yes, of course, yes. Yeah. Well, apparently they were one of the biggest operators of Thames barges on the east coast, the Keeble family was.
What sort of era was that?
That would have been...
roughly.
I expect they were in the 1800s up to the early 1900s. Mm. There was other companies running off the east coast the same as them, but the Keebles were one of the biggest, running 13 barges, and were a successful company. But their success is what killed the barge trade. Grandfather Keeble always said that his father called the brothers, as he said, because there was a number of them into the office one afternoon, and he said, that's it, we're calling it a day, we're packing up, we're selling the fleet. And the brothers said, well, this is ridiculous, you know, we're so successful, we're hauling straw into London, we're backloading stone out of Kent, you know. And he said, we're, our success is what's going to kill us, because we're carting stone for roads. And he said, within 5 years, there will not be work for their barges. And he was right. Apparently, grandfather always said that within 5 years, he sold the fleet. All the brothers, bar, I think, one, Hobby, came off the barges. Hobby went and crewed for someone else. Grandfather said, he said, used to be able to walk across the Thames at Tower Bridge on barges waiting for work.
Really? Right across the river?
And he said they stood out at Southend like trees, waiting for work. And he said the death of them was, they used to put a box of matches on them. So grandfather could foresee that he'd killed the truck. They were successful, but killed themselves by road haulage. I suspect in one way they should have gone into road haulage, which is what I do for a living now.
Come full circle.
Yes, yeah. 100 years. But obviously I work for somebody, but not my own vehicle. But
so that was a very dramatic time in the family history, wasn't it? Giving up all those barges and just selling them and just stopping it.
He was a very, very shrewd man. They always, you know, from what I've heard from grandfather and that, there's the tale that when he was up with his barges, he'd saved sovereigns in a jar or something, and he turned to grandmother and she said, what are you going to do with that money? You know, it's ridiculous. And he said, there's enough money there for a barge and a set of sails. And he went and did that, you know. So he was he was very a forward-thinking man, you know, but
so let me get this right. So this was your grandfather.
The one who actually packed the fleet up would be my great-grandfather.
And your grandfather, one of the sons,
was
moved here?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, which would be Tom Keeble.
Tom
Keeble.
That's a well-known name, isn't it?
Yes, he used to, we still got it up the yard, he used to ride a lady's bike into Maldon to get his shopping every day. So he's quite a renowned character of Maldon, you know.
So he had a big change too, from barging to farming.
Yes, yes. He'd always been on the water.
Yeah. And presumably he took to that okay.
He took it on. And
did you ever talk to him about, you know, about how he started the farm?
Well, what I've just told you about the barges sitting at London, sitting at Tower Bridge and that, when you could get him talking, he would tell you tales after tales. And my dad, Jim Keeble, he had took a lot of it on board, so different things that I've picked up off my dad learning about the farm family history. Grandfather was, you had to warm him up to get him to talk, really.
And you remember him quite well.
Yes, you remember him very well.
Excellent.
Going back in history of the farm, obviously there's just different things I've been told and talked about. Well, the way sort of Dad came into the farm, Jim Keeble, would be he actually went away to work. He worked for Binders for a number of years on their farm, and obviously what quite a lot of farmers' sons do go to a big farm to get more knowledge. Very happy there, going along, learning a different way of farming. And unfortunately, Grandfather Keeble, which is Tom, one day got chucked up by the bull. Sort of gored up against the tree trunk. They thought that was the end, and that suddenly turned Dad's career working on another farm into a total different light, and he had to come home to Wintersleet to run the farm.
Take over.
But and Grandfather survived and lived till he's in his 90s, so he made a strong old stuff like they are in them days.
Grandfather Tom able to get back to work a little bit after his
potted about and, you know, an able-bodied man. And he was, you know, if he set his mind to something, he'd help you. If he set his mind he didn't want to help you, he wouldn't help you. But like Dad always said, that when they were building the bungalow, him and Mum, they dug the site of the house out by hand. And what he used to do, he used to say, get that trailer empty in the morning, son, to my dad, park it on the site, and then he'd dig all day and fill the trailer up. So dad was getting a load dug while he was milking cows and looking after the animals, you know. But that was his, that was his nature. If he took to you, he was a character. He wasn't a granddad that showed you a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. Quite a hard man, to, you know, and to crack him to find out different things about the family was, you know, you had to get the right day and the right weather and everything. And
but you knew he loved you, but he wouldn't necessarily say
something. Totally different character, you know.
So your father and your husband, Marie, came back, Jim, to work really hard on the farm, and then he met you. And then you built the bungalow.
That's right. We met each other in 65. As I say, I go back to when he picked me up in this sports car and gave me a ride home. And anyway, we married in 66 and built the bungalow, as I've said earlier on. And then we both went out to work, and I had the children. And of course that fills quite a lot of time. And
you were talking earlier about having to give up the cows because you just couldn't make enough money from
correct. We had to give up the cows, so we sold the cows, and with the money that we got for the cows, because it was a big wrench to us both, we decided that the money must go, and we bought our tractor, which is a Leyland, and we actually still have got this Leyland to this day, and it's here in the shed up the yard with a number of tractors, because the grandsons and Carl adore vintage tractors. So we have a big collection of those. So we worked a number of years with this tractor and that, and then as time went on, we decided that we just couldn't do it any longer.
What crops did you
grow? We grew, we went all arable, we grew wheat and barley, but it just wasn't that profitable trying to do that. We were propping it up by going out to work.
Can I ask how many acres you had here?
We're just over 30 acres.
Right.
I know it sounds a lot, and when you think a family were brought up on it with the milk rounds and all of that, but as things go on and the cost of everything, modern machinery, you just, as a small farm, you just couldn't keep time with it.
Yeah.
So it was impossible to carry that on. We rent it out. As farmed by another farmer.
So you rented it out to a local, another farmer.
To work the fields. And, you know, this is a lovely situation for us because we still have got the farm. We still own the land, which we're very fortunate because that goes right down to Beeley Abbey. But just saying about ploughing things up, I will return to a phone call that I made back in 2007, and it was to a lady to make an appointment for something, and the lady said, could I give her my address? So I said Wintersleep Farm. So this lady, she said, I'd like to come back to that in a moment. I said, and she came back to it. She said, I've just bought a bungalow in Spittle Road. She said, and we've been digging in the garden. She said, and we've found a milk bottle. She said, and on it is stamped T.J. Keeble, Wintersleep Farm. She said, but being we're new people, we didn't know where Wintersleep Farm was. And I said, I can't believe what you're telling me. I said, because I said, that is from the farm where I live. I said, and that was used years ago when they bottled the milk up. And she said, well, she said, I think we've damaged it as we've dug it up. But she said, actually, it's in good condition. She said, I'll bring it up. And to this day, I'm just so lucky to own it. And I just said to her, the words in my mouth came out, and I said, if my husband could come down from heaven, he'd come and give you the biggest hug he can give you. I said, because I said, that is something he's never been able to find. I've ploughed up around the farm, like I say, we've ploughed it all up, but we've never found anything of any relevance back to the milk grounds.
That's a real treasure, isn't it? It's here on the table.
Is a real treasure. And we keep it in pride of place. We don't want it to get damaged.
Of course. And it says TJ Keeble, Wintersleet Farm, Malden.
Yes,
printed. Stamped on the side of the bottle.
Yeah, and that's a wide-necked one. That's one of those that years ago when I was a little girl, we always looked for those tops because you used to make bubbles with them because you push the middle out of them. But I think they had a cardboard stopper in the top of them.
So probably somewhere in the area there are many more.
Many more, but that's the first one. And as I say, we're Carl and the boys, and we're quite collectors, and we've been known to different things, but we've never ever come across anything with TJ Keeble on it. And I just think I'm sitting here looking at it as I do this interview, and I think I'm just so lucky to have it that's standing on my table.
Yeah. Let's go back to your parents-in-law, because they lived to their 90s, I think you said.
That's correct.
In the farm,
yes.
Just down the slope here.
Yes, that's correct.
And then when they died, the farm, the building was sold or rented out again?
No, we had to give this great thought because obviously it's right on our doorstep because our bungalow is right behind the farmhouse. It had to be because of the work here. So we decided to do holiday lets. And we went to Malden Council and they said, oh, you don't have to have any change of anything if you're going to let that the whole property. So we let it. Self-catering, and of course being a farmhouse you could sleep up to 6 or 8 people in there, so for 18 years we did holiday lets. It was a very busy time, and we've got a lovely book of memorabilia of what everybody wrote when they visited, and to this day I still receive Christmas cards and people say what a lovely holiday they had at Wintersleet Farm. And as I say, we did this for 18 years, and then Carl married and Carl lived in there for a few years. But things, situations have changed a little now, and we have sold the farmhouse. We're very lucky because the man who lives in there, or the young man who lives in there, is a farmer himself. Mm-hmm. So he loves the fact that we're out right in the country and he is a super neighbour.
But he doesn't work the land.
As I say, we can still hold on to the land, and this is where I think we are extremely lucky to be where we are.
Well, it is a wonderful location here, isn't it? Quite high up, above the cemetery, looking out on the hills, looking towards Wickham Bishops and Beely.
That's right, you know, as as everybody who comes here, and I've got to be honest, all of us, even the grandchildren, we don't really want to go on holidays, we don't do holidays. And when we first had the lockdown, as I go back to saying about Helen has a disability, but one thing Helen loves is a picnic. So on two or three occasions, I said, come, we'll go for a picnic. Where we go? And I said, well, come on, we'll go up the field. We get a disabled scooter up and we go and sit up in the top, up the top of the field. And we don't need to go out in the car. We just live in a lovely situation. And as I say, we go back now, we're fifth generations, and I just hope that this can stay in our possession, and my grandchildren, Charles and Robin, can stay here as well for a long, long while.
You must be very proud of your family history.
I am.
And all the events that happened in the past and the changes and how people have adapted.
I am proud of it. And I like to share it. I suppose sometimes I say, I don't know. Like when I was asked to do this interview, I don't feel I know enough about it, but then when I get talking I can't shut up. We are very, very lucky where we live, and let's hope that we can carry on.
Carl, can we come back to you? Would you like to tell us about your vintage tractor collection?
Well, if anybody knows Carl, me, myself in Malden, tractors is the big thing that always has been in my life, and from a young age we used to do a little bit of going to steam rallies and around the country, and my ambition was always to get a vintage tractor. In about 1985-86 we managed to achieve that with the help of my dad, and we got this tractor going, which is a Newman Road Crop, which is a British tractor, which is very quite rare. But it didn't stop. It's a bit like a disease. Once you get one, you want to buy another one, and then another one. Dad was into it as well, and he had a number as well in the collection, and some of them were still obviously got. But now we're at 20 vintage tractors.
And do you manage to get them all working and going?
Everything we've got up the yard, bar one, is a runner and mover.
And you do that yourself?
Some of them have come here with major problems and some have come with minor problems. I'm not a top mechanic. I'm only self-taught with Dad. Sometimes I have to get somebody else in to help me out with some things, but welding and painting and that sort of thing, and some of the mechanicals we can do. Sometimes if Mum's about, your hand's smaller, Mum, can you get in there and get that clip off of that piece of machinery? So yes, and the boys are very enthusiastic towards it as well. So,
they're fascinated.
They love it too. And Dad, when Dad passed away, he left two tractors, one each to him in his will. Oh. So they started off with one of Granddad's tractors each.
Special. And do you take the tractors out over the fields?
Yeah, I don't take them that far afield rallying wise. It's the logistics of moving about. We can do it with some of the smaller ones, but we have as much fun here at harvest time, getting them out and running them up and down the fields and driving them about. So they range from about, the oldest one would be about 1934, and we come right up to about 1984. Mm. So we've got quite a selection of different years through the tractors.
And of course you've got space here, haven't you, to keep them?
Yes, yes, although we're running out.
Really?
Undercovering sheets.
Yeah. Just going back to Carl and vintage tractors, I was on the PCC of All Saints Church and I came home one evening and I said to Jim, All Saints Church want to do a big fundraiser. What can we do? He said, well, shall we hold a vintage rally? And I said, well, I don't know, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Well, cut a long story short, the church were extremely good. They covered us with insurance. And with the help of four families, close families to us in the church, we decided we would hold this rally. Now, anybody who's been to a vintage rally, there's even more special things you must do now, but this was way back in the 70s, 80s, then it wasn't quite so bad. So we decided that we'd have this rally and it would be on a Sunday after church. So on the Saturday, everybody set to work, the families, we roped it all off. We had a pet's corner, we had all ploughman's lunches, which were all done from our bungalow at the time. We had all stalls and we trusted everybody, gave them an envelope and said, if you have a good day, will you give us a donation? Well, after late in the morning, Jim came in and he said to me, you've never seen so many people coming along this road. And it was very moving to think how much not only the church people but everybody, because it was up on the hill, everybody came and we had just absolute wonderful day. And at the end of the day we had a total up and we made over £2,000 for the church. Gosh. And that was from Sunday lunchtime until 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. We did it that year and the vicar was very, very pleased. And so we did it a second year, and that proved very popular. But unfortunately, the weather was against us that year, and we made just over £1,000. But after doing that, and everybody working together, there was another two or three people that were vintage tractor people, and Jim and Carl. And there was a man called Ivan and his son and all of that. We all got our heads together and it was decided that they would start a tractor club for Malden. And so they got their heads together and they had a meeting. And Jim chaired it at the time and it started then. And to this day, it goes under the Malden Tractor and Engine Club, and to this day it's still going. And in actual fact, just over a fortnight ago, they celebrated 5 years, 30 years. Beg your pardon, 30 years, and they opened the evening and said that that would never have started had it not have been for the person who wasn't there that evening, and that was Jim, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they were still up and a real thriving club, and Carl is a supporter and the boys like to go along.
And you meet regularly, Carl?
Yeah, the Malvern Track Club meets every month.
Every month?
Yeah, except then they have like a summer break because quite a few of us are farm linked people, so then it starts back again.
And you have talks about?
Yeah, they have talks about the one we had the other month. We had a talk on bat willows and how they farm them, and then another time we had somebody with tractor parts, and then another one about someone restored from a train to a boat. So yes, it's all interlinked with restoration and
engineering and that sort of thing.
It goes very well.
Good for you.